Everyone is searching for good news. And at least according to Google, they are. Google would know, right? Forget Santa. Google knows when you're sleeping. Google knows when you're awake. The great invisible engine in the sky knows exactly what the world is looking for, whether to distract us from the truth that we have far less privacy than we think, or in the true spirit of some warm heavenly inspiration, they put together a list. It shows over and over again that what people have been searching for the most in December is they've been searching for good. People searched good things in the world and were rewarded with an entire boys' soccer team emerging from a cave alive, or a young boy dressed up like a superhero, giving food to homeless people. We searched, incidentally, for how to be a good singer, how to be a good dancer, and there's a lot of joy and hilarity in many of the results. The world also wants to know how to be a good kisser. Really? Come on, it's not that hard. And how to be a good listener, and maybe those two skill sets, kissing and listening, go together. I don't know. How to be a good role model yields clips of Stephen Hawking, George H.W., and Barbara Bush, and a video of Senator Tammy Duckworth riding in a wheelchair with a new baby in her arms. Good friends, good vibes, good things in life. The video montage, if you go and look at it, shows lots of hugs, a woman proposing to another woman in front of a cheering crowd, and many tearful reunions. And it ends with a shot of the night sky and the caption, "Good things are worth searching for. Search on." Everybody's looking for some good news. And the Christmas story is really quite simple if we allow ourselves. It is a reality that has been and will be repeated in the birth of every child. Every new birth, including our own, is and was a testimony to God's growing edge and hope for the ever-present darkness in our world. The good news tonight is that the Spirit of the living God is fully born in each and every one of us. The question before us is, will we let it fully live in us, explode out of us, if you will, as it did in Jesus? Tonight is both about, well, it's about both and. It's about remembering the uniqueness of Jesus and our spiritual quest to be the women, the men, the children that God is dreaming of us to be. Historically, looking back, we see Jesus being born into a working-class family who have nowhere to stay. I think Christmas is about remembering that God seems to be most often found in the most unlikely of situations and in the most unlikely of people, not only in Bethlehem, but in our lives. God comes to the places that I think that hurt most, that are most troubled in our world. God comes to the undocumented workers and their dreamer children, the war-torn Syrians and Yemenis, to refugees, to persons experiencing homelessness, and God comes to us. John's gospel, incidentally, goes even further to proclaim that the true light enlightens everyone. Everyone without exception, and that includes Black Lives Matter protesters, frightened white males supporting Donald Trump, justice seekers and corporate moguls. And as the book of Titus and John both note, salvation is possible for everyone. The Christmas magic, touted by television holiday shows, is not just the kiss under the mistletoe, but the transformed heart and lifestyle that we see in Ebenezer Scrooge's, in George Bailey's, in our own world-weary and wintry spirits. I like to keep in mind the joyful messiness of the holidays, the presence of the infinite and the finite, and God in humankind, But most of all, I share this good news through a story about fallible humans who have been touched by an angel and seek all the rest of their lives to live up to God's revealing presence that has come to them that way. At Christmas, I like to think we are all characters. We are all unkept and weary shepherds. We're all privileged magi. We are all anxious political leaders and harried parents. We are the Christ child, albeit metaphorical perhaps, in the sense that God has a dream for us. There's a chance for all of us to hear the message, to be transformed, and to go forth illumined by what we've experienced. The mood of Christmas is hopeful intimacy, wondrous incarnation, and we are called to open the door to the holiness in every life and the radical amazement of a world in which God takes flesh right where we are to bring us hope and salvation. Well, you know, you get the picture. The world just now, I think, seems rather dark, even hostile. And so I wonder what this Christmas will feel like when so much of the world seems to be in turmoil, and the angel's cry of peace on earth sounds more like a wish than a blessing. And we who gather on a night like this to sing carols and to light our candles and hear the Christmas story seem so very small against the backdrop of this troubled world that we're a part of. And I think that's when a part of Luke's nativity gospel stood out to me. And truth be told, you know, I've heard it like a zillion times before, but this time it struck me differently. In those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all of the world should be registered. This was the first registration that was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And what strikes me is that the events Luke describes also seem incredibly small. I mean, what does Emperor Augustus or Governor Quirinius care about a pregnant teenager or wandering shepherds? Like, not at all. Mary, Joseph, and the rest, these folks are so incredibly small compared to these rulers. And yet Luke declares that whether these rich and powerful leaders care or not, heck, whether they even notice or not, yet these events Luke describes in detail are going to go ahead and change the world. We should have some hope hanging on that for ourselves. It's an audacious claim. When you think about it, that the birth of a baby to a really young girl amid the squalor of a backwater town could possibly even matter. And yet there, in a nutshell, I think it's the promise of the good news that God regularly shows up where we least expect God to be, and God always shows up for us. So though this world would be dark, it's not forsaken. And the headlines we read and worry about will have their day and then fade against the backdrop of this story that we've been telling and retelling for 2,000 years. God loves this world. God will not give up on it, and God will not give up on us. Moreover, God continues to come to love and bless this world and invites us to do the same. So many of us struggle to see God amidst the desolate headlines. So many more wonder where God is among their own private pain of ruptured relationships, lost loved ones, loneliness, illness, job loss, depression. Or maybe it's just that we get caught up in the day-to-day routine of making ends meet, that we have a hard time imagining that God could possibly make a difference in our lives, in our world. Sure, maybe we believe in God in general, but sensing God's presence, that gets weird. Let alone seeing God in the nitty-gritty of our mundane lives seems a bit much to count on. But the Gospel of John goes on to tell us that God has grown intimately close to us, knowing us, caring about us, providing hope for us through the one that we call this Jesus, the Christ. And then goes on to have Jesus say that, and listen, you may not even want to hear this, that we will do even greater things than Jesus did. Just erase that from your memory because you don't want to do that. The exact verse says, "Very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these." When we give ourselves over to living and loving and challenging the world and ourselves like Jesus did, John's Jesus tells us that we will accomplish even greater things than Jesus did. Now, Jesus being born is a past event, and it's worthy of remembering. But theologically and personally, what is even of greater import is that the work of Jesus, the work of God, is being born anew, calling us forward in fresh ways, asking us to be bold, innovative, responsive to the lure of God, to be the men and women and children that God is dreaming of us to become. It's happening. Whether you feel it or not, it's happening even now. Right here, in the midst of all the people and creatures of our world. John says that it's impossible to see God. But actually, I think the problem is that we have a tendency to look for God in all the wrong places. There is more to life than previously imagined. Angels hide in every nook and cranny. Magi masquerading as everyday women. Shepherds wear the garments of day laborers now. The earth is brimming with glory for those who have eyes to see and ears to hear. The gospel message, hope, grace, and peace, seems rather improbable if you're anything like me, even unlikely. I mean, that the creator of the cosmos would even know that we exist, let alone love and cherish us. It's almost too good to be true. But for just that reason, this is a story I keep coming back to, hoping against hope, and on my good days actually believing that it's the one true story that we will encounter this week, this year, and lifetime, that God so loved the world and us. That not only was Jesus born, God's hope is equally born in each of you. Each of you. It's a reality of the season of Christmas. God is born in you. Enjoy. And know that you are treasured. But then beware, because you are then called into service to bring light into the darkness. And don't forget that the best Christmas presents are still to be given. Feed the hungry. Clothe the naked. Please forgive the guilty. Welcome the unwanted. Care for the ill. Love your enemies that you've had the privilege of making. And do unto others as you would have others do unto you. Merry Christmas.